Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours, O triune God. Amen. I know it's only the first third of March, but I'm truly in spring mode. I'm thinking ahead to flowers and the seeds that I need to buy. Way too many I need to buy. I don't know about you, but for me, seeds are a strange thing. When a baby is born, you get a glimpse of what they may look like when they're grown. When you first see them, you're like, oh, okay. Yes, there will be changes in them, but you start to get it in human form. The same with lambs or puppies or calves or kittens. But seeds, just by looking at a seed, gives us no glimpse of what is to come. But the beautiful thing about seeds is all of the excitement that happens underground. I look forward to the shoots of green pushing through that brown dirt. I look forward to the life that is to come. Because all of that brings me hope. In all that is going on in the world and even in our lives, we cling to hope. And mine comes in the form of daffodils and tulips, morning glories or hollyhock seeds, all of that. I plant my seeds or my bulbs in the ground and then wait and hope. And while they've never disappointed me, I'm still surprised every time they burst through the ground. I'm amazed, and it does something to my heart. It is then that I see God as God of renewal, making things new. God created a seed that is basically dead. I mean, as long as it sits in a package, nothing happens to it, am I right? Until you plant it in the ground, and you feed it water, and wait until it is able to push through that outer shell. The shell has to decay, and hope is alive again. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, not to condemn the world, but so that the world may be saved through him. Everybody seems to know John 3:16, and it's a beautiful verse. But personally, I think 17 is the verse to quote. Sure, verse 16 speaks about God's love, but the truth of God's love, the mercy and the forgiveness, it becomes real in 17. So know this. When St. Paul wrote wrote this letter to the Romans. It was never broken up in verses. We, centuries later, separated the book, the sentences, up in certain ways. These two verses were never meant to be separated. And I can only find hope of 16 because of verse 17. For me, verse 16 is the seed, and 17 is the hope I long for because of that seed. Because God is a God of renewal. Renewal and hope. Jesus came into the world to make us new. Because that is what Jesus does. To live into that hope and truth. Because if there is no hope, no belief, I am truly condemned to a life of uncertainty and fear, and as far from hope as one could possibly get. I can't imagine placing a seed in the ground and walking away and thinking, well, there it is. Bye. It's dead. It's gone. Never to think of it again. Just like I can't imagine this life is just what it is. It's just random. You just live and then you die. I'm grateful that day by day, we are all made new again and again through God's love and forgiveness, and that God sending the Son would show that love and forgiveness in a totally unbelievable way. This passage is not and should not be about shaking one's finger at another person and saying, do this or else. But it welcomes. It's a welcome to share in the newness, to share in the hope. I actually found it interesting, and I noticed it. I noticed it this week, but it didn't jump at me until Kendra read those words from Ephesians, that we are saved by grace, and it's not through what we do, but it's through what God does. And I think sometimes we look at John 3:16 only, and we make it works righteous. We are saved if you believe. That's otherwise you're done for. Where 17 adds that hope. We're going to have days where we live in a fog and maybe can't remember when or where that seed was planted, if it was planted at all. But none of it depends on you or me. We have days when we are slow to move or react or even know what it means to follow God, what it means to believe. And yet God continues to move and to act and to be. And when God acts, we are forgiven. And that is at the moments when our hearts are able, that we actually see new life emerge, new life of that planted seed, and a renewed life of all of us. So a blessing this morning from Kate Baller. Blessed are we in fog, that first thing in the morning feeling when we don't know what today is for. Blessed are we not moving too soon, lingering in the sense that yesterday's wisdom seems long ago and far away. Here in the not knowing is where we remember. There is no formula we should have remembered, for you, O God, have made this day from scratch, out of the abundance of your creativity and love. And because of your forgiveness freely offered, and joyfully received, we can begin again. Renewal is the unending fresh spring
For that is this day, the one I'm living in, and for this me, the one I'm becoming. God, help me listen with my whole self for that which you can do with this whole day. Help me listen deeply each moment and start fresh over and over in the light of your rejuvenating world. Thanks be to God. Amen.